In the craggy heart of northern Morocco, a war unfolded in the 1920s that would forever alter the relationship between colonizer and colonized. It was a rebellion that dared to succeed, humbling two European empires and introducing the world to a republic built on resistance. This is the story of the Rif War, an anti-colonial uprising so tactically innovative, so politically radical, that its memory was systematically erased. But while empires may forget, the mountains remember, and today, we bring back a revolution too important to remain buried. At the dawn of the 20th century, Morocco found itself ensnared in the scramble for Africa. Following decades of European pressure and internal instability, the Treaty of Fez was signed in 1912, establishing a French protectorate over the majority of Moroccan territory. Spain, though a lesser colonial power, was granted control over two zones, the northern coastal region and the far south. The north, known as the Rif, was mountainous, rugged, and populated by fiercely independent Amazigh tribes. For the colonial authorities, the Rif was little more than a buffer zone, a place to be subdued rather than governed, exploited rather than developed. Infrastructure was minimal, administration inconsistent, and interactions with the indigenous population often brutal. The Rifans had a long history of resisting foreign domination, and Spanish rule only deepened that resolve. Early rebellions erupted in the 1910s, but they were fragmented. What the Rif lacked was unity. That would soon change. Mohammed Abdelkrim al-Khattabi was born in 1882 in the village of Ajdir. He came from a respected family. His father was a Qadi, an Islamic judge, and young Abdelkrim received both traditional Islamic education and Spanish schooling. He spoke Arabic, Amazigh, and Spanish fluently, and was known for his intellect. He later studied in Melilla and even began law studies in Spain. Eventually, he worked as a journalist, teacher, and translator. For a time, he served as a judge within the Spanish administration, a rare position for a Moroccan at the time. But the experience left him embittered. He witnessed how Spanish rule privileged settlers and soldiers over locals, how laws were applied unequally, and how the colonial project was rooted in domination rather than justice. By 1920, his disillusionment turned into defiance. He withdrew from official life and began mobilizing tribal networks across the Rif. With charisma and strategy, he overcame historical divisions among the tribes. Through diplomacy, religion, and appeals to national dignity, he forged a confederation that would challenge empire. The Rif had not just resisted, they had humiliated. In early 1921, Spain escalated its military presence deep into the Rif under the command of General Manuel Silvestre. Eager to assert dominance and unaware of the resistance forming around him, Silvestre pushed his troops into the heart of hostile territory without adequate supply lines or reinforcements. On July 22, 1921, at the Battle of Annual, disaster struck. Rifian forces, using guerrilla tactics and intimate knowledge of the terrain, encircled and annihilated Silvestre's army. More than 10,000 Spanish soldiers were killed, and the Rifans captured vast amounts of equipment, from rifles to artillery to communication devices. It was one of the worst defeats ever suffered by a European colonial force in Africa. In Spain, the catastrophe triggered national mourning and political crisis. The monarchy, already weakened, came under immense pressure. King Alfonso XIII, when told of the massive death toll, reportedly dismissed the lives lost as insignificant, saying, "Chicken meat is cheap." With Spain reeling, Abdelkrim seized the moment not just to defend, but to create. In 1923, he declared the establishment of the Republic of the Rif, a revolutionary act in a colonized world. This was not simply a tribal alliance. It was a structured, modernizing entity. The Republic implemented a tax system, built a judiciary, and formed a central government. Schools were founded to promote literacy and national identity. Tribal councils evolved into representative assemblies. Diplomatically, Abd el-Krim sent letters to the League of Nations, seeking recognition and advocating for the rights of colonized peoples. The Republic blended Islamic governance with progressive ideals. It was a prototype for decolonization born decades before most African states gained independence. But this very success made it a threat. For Spain and France, it was a dangerous example, a functioning anti-colonial state within view of Europe. It could not be tolerated. Desperate to recover its colonial foothold, Spain changed tactics. With support from the French, the Spanish military escalated the conflict. In one of the darkest chapters of the war, Spain began systematic chemical warfare. Mustard gas and phosgene bombs were dropped from planes onto civilian areas, an unprecedented act in Africa. Farms were poisoned. Rivers were contaminated. Villages turned into death traps. Children suffered blistering burns. Livestock died en masse. The goal was psychological, to break the spirit of resistance by making survival itself impossible. France, fearing unrest in Algeria, joined Spain fully in the campaign. Over 300,000 French troops were mobilized, the largest colonial deployment France had ever sent to Africa. The combined forces launched a war of attrition backed by air raids, naval blockades, and chemical attacks. The Rif was turning into a crucible of cruelty. As the Rif burned, the world watched in silence. Humanitarian organizations like the International Committee of the Red Cross knew what was happening, but said little. Recently declassified documents reveal internal debates within the ICRC. Intervene and lose access to European governments, or remain silent and preserve influence. The ICRC chose silence. A 2019 retrospective described its response as passive and diplomatically cautious. Rifian suffering, it seemed, did not carry enough political weight. Western media downplayed the atrocities. No international sanctions followed. The suffering of colonial subjects was deemed secondary. In effect, the Rifans were abandoned by the world. In September 1925, Spain and France launched a joint amphibious assault on Alhucemas Bay. It was the first operation in history to combine tanks, aircraft, and naval power in a coordinated landing. The Rifans, outmatched in firepower and overwhelmed on multiple fronts, were pushed back. Cut off from supplies and with civilian infrastructure in ruins, the Republic of the Rif was suffocating. Abdel Krim, unwilling to see further civilian suffering, surrendered to French forces in 1926. He requested exile over execution and was sent to the island of Réunion, where he remained for over two decades. Yet even in exile, Abdel Krim's influence endured. During the Algerian War of Independence, he advised the FLN revolutionaries from across Africa and the Arab world, studied his tactics. He became a symbol of resistance that transcended borders. The Rif War was largely scrubbed from European history books. In Spain, it was an embarrassing episode. In France, it risked encouraging anti-colonial sentiment elsewhere. In Morocco, both the colonial government and later the monarchy treated Abdel Krim with suspicion. Even after independence, the Moroccan state marginalized the Rif region, viewing it as rebellious. Yet memory persisted. In the Rif Mountains, elders passed down stories of the Republic. In the towns of northern Morocco, murals of Abd el Krim appeared. In 2017, massive protests once again erupted in the Rif, demanding dignity, development, and justice, the very ideals of 1921. Today, Abd el Krim is remembered not just as a military leader, but as a visionary. His republic, though short-lived, proved that colonized people could govern themselves, build institutions, and demand a seat at the global table. Why does the Rif War matter today? Because it was the opening salvo in the long 20th century fight for decolonization. Because it challenged the myth of European superiority. Because it demonstrated the power of indigenous resistance. Abd el Krim did more than win battles. He dared to imagine a future beyond empire, a world of dignity, equality, and sovereignty. For a moment, that world existed. And though crushed by superior forces, the dream did not die. It lives on in every movement for liberation, in every voice that demands justice, in every forgotten village that still remembers its name. If this story moved you, help us revive the memory. Like, share, and subscribe. History isn't just in books. It's in the voices we choose to hear.